If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you are missing out. Super Beet Soft Chews are a delicious snack you can take on the go and support your heart health. Super Beets Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beet Soft Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beets Chews. Get your Super Beets Chews today at danasbeets.com, and when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the third for free. That's danasbeets.com to get a free bag of Super Beets Soft Chews when you purchase 2. danasbeets.com.
Listen, I'm not having anything like what happened in Portland. I've been very clear. I'm a former federal prosecutor. There are a number of things that President Trump could do to help, starting with passing common sense gun control. There are way too many illegal guns on our street, and that is the primary driver of the violence.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah, that's good night. That's the mayor of Chicago, Lori Lightfoot. I don't know if you guys saw what happened last night, but all hell broke loose in Chicago. Oh my gosh. Welcome to the show. My name is Dana Lash at DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook and Channel 248, Pluto TV via The First. So we got a lot for you later on. We'll talk to Senator Josh Hawley about all of the latest. There are also some news with his movement as it relates to the bill on TikTok and Chinese communist spying, etc. There, it looks like that's gaining some momentum in Congress. We're going to talk with him about that and a host of other issues as well. As we, there's a lot. I don't know. I know you saw the headlines last night, and I hate that this is almost considered by so many folks in legacy media like this is, oh, well, it's, you know, it's another day that ends in Y. There was a lot of crime that took place in Chicago. It was considered apparently a planned ambush in Chicago last night, where you had 14 people who were shot, 15 hospitalized total. And they, what did they say? 9 injured. And it took place at a funeral in Chicago's Gresham neighborhood. And people who are who were at the funeral, attendees, fired back. So it just... It was bad all around. And that was the Chicago mayor's response to that. The Chicago mayor saying, we have to have, it's an issue of gun control. I feel like you know, they repeat this stuff so often, and it's important for us to repeat the truth back to them, because it's not an issue of gun control. I mean, for crying out loud, this is an issue. I've written so many times about this, and I have examined Chicago statistics. I have seen the recidivism rate, and I've also seen that Chicago is one of the leading cities in the nation that has they lead the nation in terms of how many cases they don't prosecute where it concerns felony crimes committed with illegally possessed firearms. And they lead the nation in this. They are one of the cities that lead the nation. They're all Democrat cities that lead the nation. Couple that with the city's ridiculous recidivism rate, and consider how repeat offenders drive over 85% of Chicago's crime. There's your problem. The problem isn't with law-abiding folks who go out and purchase guns. That's not the problem. The problem isn't with law-abiding people in Indiana, because if you are, again, a prohibited possessor in your state of residence, you're a prohibited possessor anywhere else. You can't go and buy a gun anywhere. It does not even matter. You cannot go and have one droned to your house. It's not how it works. But this kind of goes along with one of the things that I'm looking at today, how what is reported in the media is exactly the opposite of what is what's actually happening. And I've noticed this for some time, but I've noticed it a lot last night. What I'm going to start doing in the newsletter and on the site is I'm just going to take screenshots of like how I follow all of these different stories. You should see the way that the headlines are. You should see that the way the headlines are positioned. Like, and we're going to get into the Portland thing. Like, for instance, the way that media is writing about everything that happened in Portland, they're acting like Trump just all of a sudden brought all this crime to Portland. Did you guys know Portland was just like this kitten and sunshine area? Portland was so great. There was nothing happening in Portland. Everybody was just like high-fiving and weaving things out of hemp and walking around in Birkenstocks and, you know, doing their gardens and hippie stuff. I mean, that's all they were doing until Donald Trump showed up. And then Donald Trump brought all this crime with him. That's the way, honestly, that, and I took a screenshot of it last night when I was looking at just how this was all being reported. I could not believe the headlines, the way that they were trying to position this. It's insane. It is insane. And we're going to talk about some of these examples of media. But here you have in Chicago, it's sort of like the same thing. This is this indulgence of this criminal activity that is perpetuating this. It's this restorative justice BS, this judicial rot that has taken place. And it believes that any kind of justice is cruel, but it ignores the fact that denial of justice is actually cruel to the victims. Everyone, if they all talk about equality while simultaneously pushing to make people unequal before the law, but not in the manner that they would interpret that. They want to make people unequal before the law in that the victim is the one who's always screwed and the criminal is always the one who's prioritized because of poverty. Maybe the criminal grew up poor. Which is, by the way, a horrible indictment, a horrible classist, bigoted indictment of poor people by the left. Because I grew up poor. Did you see me burning down buildings? Did you see me assaulting people? Hell no, I didn't do that. Because whether or not you're poor isn't an indication as to whether or not you have morals. The idea that you are poor of money is not the same as being poor of ethics or of morals. And it's insane that these people can't differentiate between this. And it shows you everything that they think about the people they claim to be champions for. It is such a bigoted, classist argument. But LA wants Chicago to hold its beer. Check this out. So they've approved 100, well, so far, they've approved $145 million in cuts to the sheriff's department out there. This is, they've seen everything that's been going on, right? They're slashing $453 million in the county. They decided that they're going to approve another $145 million from the sheriff's department's budget. This was what the LA County Board of Supervisors voted on just a day ago. And the sheriff there said, yeah, it's going to hurt a lot of people. You think? Of course it is. It's going to hurt a lot of people. It's going to hurt a lot of people. I mean, they act like they're hurting the police and that they're undercutting or jabbing the police, but they're hurting themselves. They're screwing themselves over. The headlines are overwhelming. I get why people are tuning out. Can you imagine doing this every single day and watching it every single hour? It's insane. I think at this point that we're at, it doesn't matter what is real or not. The only thing that matters is what side you're on. And it doesn't even matter whether or not that side's, you know, true, whether that side's dealing in fact, whether it's, you know, whatever it is. It doesn't matter. People are so tribally political at this point. So tribally political. And yet the violence continues. You're going to see it happen all weekend. Now, looking at some of the media biases I was discussing, I have been watching some of these write-ups, and I've been watching some of my friends criticize Andrew Cuomo as well, because his reaction to all of this, and this is case in point with us, the way that the media has been propping up Andrew Cuomo, whose mishandling of everything in New York is just positively criminal, and then lying about it. Like, oh, I didn't issue this March edict that you all have the PDF of because the internet. And I didn't do that. No. Now he's like, well, we made some mistakes. We made a few mistakes here. We made some mistakes in the way that we were handling the nursing home mandate. Some mistakes. Some. Really. It's a lot more than just some. And he's still in a fight with Bill de Blasio as well. Now, there's a couple of pieces on this. Ash Chow has a great piece when she got this soundbite from one of his like frillion. He has these like, so everyone complains about Trump's pressers and then they got mad when he didn't have them. And then Andrew Cuomo has these self-aggrandizing press conferences where he unveils posters that his face is on in a very bizarre move. New York had more deaths than any other state. They, and in fact, it was the nursing home fatality rate that was driving this too. More than 6,400 nursing home residents died after his March edict that ordered all of these nursing home facilities to accept these coronavirus positive patients because they classified them as quote unquote medically stable. And the media shields him. He was going on a CNN. By the way, Jake Tapper criticized him one time and you haven't heard another damn thing about it because he felt, oh, well, I just did it the one time. That's carrying the water. CNN was like, we're getting hit with so much criticism. Let's go ahead and send Jake out there to clean it up. Whether it's a town hall or whether it's handling the Cuomo situation, CNN always falls back to Tapper to handle this stuff. So they Tapper did like what one segment where he was criticizing, and it was justified, but it's a little late. Justified, but a little late. And you haven't heard any other criticism. They act like they do the bare minimum. And then that's it. They're not going to touch it again. They're going to pivot and go back to trying to attack Ron DeSantis or Brian Kemp or anybody else that is not Andrew Cuomo, who is there maybe 2024 hopeful. That's what this is all about. This stuff that you see with these governors is some 2024 stuff. That's what that is. No, the New York Times was trying to downplay Cuomo's role in all of this because you can't. I mean, you have to write about it because you're a news entity. But how the hell do you write about it when the guy that you're trying to, you know, when the guy at the center of it, he's complicit. Now, they said, does Cuomo share the blame for the 6,200 virus deaths in nursing homes? And their conclusion was that he really doesn't. It's really not. And you believe these people. These are the people who are supposed to be sharing with you information about a global pandemic so that you can make plans and decisions for your family. And you can't even trust them to get this right. Good night. And this is why people question it. And like I said, it's a tale of opposites. So speaking of New York, travelers from 31 states, they're required to self-quarantine for 14 days upon arrival in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. They've added 10 more states to the list. Obviously, Texas is one of them. Now, flashback to, I want to say that this was like May when this happened. And Rhode Island, remember when Rhode Island said that they were going to implement a quarantine on people who go into Rhode Island from New York? And a lot of that was because you had a lot of folks from New York who wanted to escape and they wanted to go to these vacation houses in Rhode Island. And people in Rhode Island were starting to freak out a little bit. So they implemented this quarantine and Andrew Cuomo threatened to sue them and had a huge public tantrum at one of his morning press conferences. And Rhode Island had to modify their quarantine order so that Andrew Cuomo didn't sue them. And then he turns around and does the exact same damn thing. Craziness. Meanwhile, the media is reporting how DHS officials are worried that the Portland response is going to give them a bad rap. The media is going in trying to rehabilitate Antifa in Portland. We're going to talk about that coming up. We're also going to get into the latest with some of the coronavirus requirements and some good news on the vaccine and other stuff. I know that there's a lot of stuff that's said about things, and I just want to know the facts of stuff. I don't want to get into conspiracy theory. I don't want to get into weird ass photos shared on Facebook. I really don't want to. I mean, seriously, I don't want to get into any of that. I haven't had a damn vacation since Christmas. I will break someone's face. Stop. I just don't want to get into any of it. I want to, if it's bad, then it's bad. If it's good, if it's good. I cannot stand the memes that get shared sometimes and that are so unbelievably not correct. I had a family member that was sharing something about Fauci's wife saying that she's actually the daughter of George Soros. And I'm like, that she's not though. Stop. That's not helping anything. Stop. I mean, you got a lot of people out there on the left that are bad enough without having to do any of that stuff. Do not give up any credibility because of that. Don't do it. So we got a lot of stuff to get into. We're killing speech. Wait until you hear the results of this new survey. Schools, backlash is still gearing up. Digital fascism and more. If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you are missing out. Super Beet Soft Chews are a delicious snack you can take on the go and support your heart health. Super Beets Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beet Soft Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just two delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beats Chews. Get your Super Beats Chews today at danasbeats.com, and when you buy two bags, they'll throw in the third for free. That's danasbeats.com to get a free bag of Super Beats Soft Chews when you purchase two. danasbeats.com.
Watch all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on Facebook, YouTube, or The First, Channel 248 on Pluto TV.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Yeah, this is not a good headline at all. A third of New York's small businesses, around 76,000, may never reopen after being forced to close during the lockdown. And apparently, even the hotspots like St. Patrick's Cathedral have been struggling. I didn't realize they got so many tourists a year. I mean, I knew that it was a popular tourist attraction, but I didn't realize it was 65 million tourists a year that St. Patrick's received. The Partnership for the New York City cited the Chamber of Commerce estimates that say a third of all of the 230,000 small businesses may never reopen, and many have less than 3 months cash reserve, which is the length of the lockdown. And in fact, 5 million fewer international tourists will visit this year. And so that's going to be an $8 billion, they're estimating about an $8 billion tax revenue decline between 2021 and 2022. And so businesses are saying, can you let the private sector lead this? Can we just not have the government lead this? Which I completely agree. As we kind of touched on yesterday, Florida Broward County Administrator Bertha Henry was mandating mask use at home. And the order of the mask usage, it's written so poorly that while I understand that they're not aiming to control mask usage within your own home, it's so poorly thought out and written that actually could be broadly interpreted that way. And people are totally justified in saying that it mandates that because it's poorly written enough to actually do that. A woman shouts, "I still love sharks," after she was attacked by one. She says, "I still love sharks. Sharks are beautiful." It was a 29-year-old woman who was attacked by a shark in North Queensland, Australia, yesterday. She was in good spirits as she was taken to the hospital for treatment. That's great. I think I would probably have some reservations, but, you know, it's okay. Two Chinese hackers, ages 34 and 33, are charged by the Justice Department with trying to steal U.S. coronavirus vaccine research. So after they give us the virus, now the communist China nation is trying to steal the vaccine research and also hundreds of millions of dollars of other sensitive government information. And in fact, the The Houston consulate down there, the Chinese consulate in Houston, was caught on video burning documents. We're going to talk more about that as well. Stick with us. We got a lot more in store.
Head to danaradio.com for the latest videos, blog posts, and podcasts.
Now, in general, when I think about that, I want to take a 40,000 foot look and say, as a fundamental principle, I do agree that we should try as best as we possibly can to get the children back to school because of the well-documented, you know, secondary downstream ripple effects that are negative, particularly on parents and on the children when you keep them out of school.
Yeah, well, and he's, guess what? Fauci isn't wrong there. The Fauci isn't wrong. Welcome back to the show, danalash.com, at DLash on Twitter. You can call him that. I mean, I don't know him at all, but, and his name's very short. I mean, really, you're just dropping the E, but still, everybody deserves a nickname, right? He's, now they're going to go back to hating him, like, right now, because he said that. Fauci was saying that the kids should go back to school. Oh, my gosh. I have to, sidebar. I was, so the school district in my area is delaying reopening until the end of September. The end of September. They're going to do remote learning until the end of September. And I don't know on what they're basing this. I mean, I'm not quite sure what they're basing this on. Well, Dan, it's because there's so many more cases. Yeah, because there's more testing. And also, we said that that was going to happen, that there was going to be an increase in cases because of the increase in testing. And there's also a decrease in the fatality rate because as we test more and as we see how widespread it actually was slash is, then we see that the fatality rate has decreased exponentially, as has the severity of the cases at large. It's just because you contract it, it's not a death sentence. Obviously, there are comorbidities that come into play. And then the severity of the virus also depends, according to, unless, you know, they still don't know what they're talking about, the amount of exposure, meaning how much time, and also what those comorbidities are. So there are a lot of variables that go in here, and it's so reductive to just to diminish everything down to, well, you know, it's if you get it, it's just a death sentence. It's not, but that's what people want you to believe to support this narrative. I mean, we have vaccines for the flu and the plague and polio and measles and mumps, but they still happen because you're always still going to have things like this, even with vaccines. That's just the nature of nature. You have to adapt and go on. And the idea that I had people... I was watching, so like on elected officials' Facebook pages, the comment section, the adults are worse than the children. It just always just descends into, it's a hot mess of slap fighting. It's like, what is it, The Next Door, but with like people, you can see their faces and it's on Facebook. It's insane. And so they were saying, well, I can't believe you just want to risk teachers' lives. So awful. You just want to get people killed. You want to risk lives of educators, risk their lives. And I've talked about this before, and I've written a great deal about it at danalash.com. That is such a BS argument. And shame on anybody who makes it, acting as though they have this moral high ground because they want to protect people. These are the people that proudly just strap on their 3% efficacy cloth mask while lecturing everyone about not caring as much about human life as they do, right? These individuals act as though they care so much. They're so concerned about mitigating risks. They're so concerned. I mean, how dare you want to reopen schools? Can you believe that you're willing to risk these people's lives? But what they are not admitting to is that they already have settled and have come to, they've already accepted, and they do it every day. They've accepted that they are totally cool with risk. They're completely fine with risking people's lives. All of these hypocrites are completely fine with risking people's lives. Why is that? Do they go and get food at the grocery store? Do they turn on a light? Do they go and put gas in their car? Because all of these things don't happen magically. The shelves don't just like, it's not like a video game where, you know, it just repopulates. No, someone puts stuff there. They go and they get it from someplace, and then they drive it to the store, and then they unload it, and then they put it on the shelves. Those are all people, all lives involved in that action that all contribute to simply that person picking a product off of a store shelf, putting it in their cart, going home, or having it delivered. And that's the other thing. If they have anything delivered, if they pick anything up from a restaurant, if they do anything, there are other lives associated with getting what they wanted to where they wanted it for them to get it. The same thing with electricity. It's not magic. There are people working to make sure that you have electricity. There are people who are working to make sure that you have gas. There are people who are working to make sure that your water works when you turn on your faucet. So all of these individuals who are bitching at you about you risking the lives of teachers themselves are completely fine with risking the lives of delivery people, of those in restaurants, of those at grocery stores, of those in electric companies, of those at the water plant, of those at the sewage plant, of those doing trash. I could go on and on. They're just hypocrites and liars, which makes them worse. So that's your response the next time any one of these people decides with their 3% efficacy BS cloth mask to get up on their high horse and try to lecture you about how much better than you they are because they care about saving lives, which is why they're not going to send their kids back to school. But they're totally fine risking the hell out of everyone else's lives for their own convenience. You remember that and you throw it back in their face because they deserve it. That's the truth of the matter. Now, with the schools, as I said, I'm not quite sure why this is the way that it is. I'm not quite sure because I've seen so many different charts and so many different stats, and there are states who, like states like Texas and Florida and Georgia, that flattened the curve, and as several have noted, they never saw a big spike. But now that they're more vulnerable to new infections than the you have these states who didn't flatten the curve that seemingly are more vulnerable. And flattening the curve is not synonymous with eradicating the virus. That's not what that means. It just means that you are in certain periods spacing out risk. That's what it means. It doesn't mean that the same amount of people aren't going to get it. It just means that the same amount of people aren't going to get it simultaneously at the exact same time. It means that the same amount of people are going to get it over a wider spread period so as to not overburden any resources, because people and medical experts still, in a way, have no idea what we're dealing with. That's it. It postpones risk. That's what it does. And I feel as though we're making all of these decisions not based on that reality at all. It is going to hurt schools. This is one of the other things that I noted, too, because I pay a hell of a lot in tax. I pay a lot in property tax, and I know y'all pay a lot in property tax, too. You never really own your own property. I think this is unconstitutional. That's a whole other separate issue. We need to go to a graduated consumption tax, but I digress. Have you ever gotten paid for not doing anything? Have you ever gotten paid? Has your employer just said, you know what? I'm not getting anything for the money that I'm giving you, but I'm going to go ahead and continue giving you money anyway. We're not getting the services that we are owed by way of our tax dollars. I am very libertarian about money issues. I am not getting, whether or not you even have kids or whether or not they're even in school, one of the purposes of your property tax is to go and support schools. So I'm assuming that we're all going to get a reduced tax bill next year, correct? We'll all get a nice, fat, reduced tax bill, because we certainly are not getting the services for which we pay. No, in some cases, you're probably going to see an increased tax bill, particularly in those areas that have been so poorly administered for so many generations, and they were not good stewards of taxpayer dollars. Therefore, they did not have any kind of rainy day funds. They did not prepare for anything like this, and they want to pretend and act as though this is a new, their financial disarray is something new. Therefore, they feel entitled to more tax dollars, except it's going to be from people beyond their state's tax dollars. They want federal money. Hell no. You're going to have a lot of people who are going to be, including some Republicans, who are going to be coming up and demanding that, well, we know we should pay more for this. I already see some people talking about we need to increase taxes as it relates to education. No, we don't. I always joke, and except I'm not joking when I say I'm two steps above anarchy in some of these issues, on a lot of them. Why? Why am I paying so much? You got some parents who homeschool, or some parents who send their kids to, you know, a faith-based school. They're paying the equivalent of two private school educations, essentially. They're not getting what they have paid for their tax dollars. So I think that all of the tax money that is going to the school should be returned to the parents so that they could seek the educational resources for their kids. If the entity to which they pay that those tax dollars, if that entity is not operational and providing those services, those parents are owed their money back so that they can make sure that their children get their services elsewhere. And if Republicans aren't pushing that, they ain't worth the vote. To hell with all of them. Let's just burn all bridges. I'm done. That's where I'm at right now. Because that's some taxation without representation territory right there. I mean, we're already in it. But that's seriously, at least for people who may not be aware that we are already in it, maybe that particular example would make them aware that we are in a taxation without representation phase. If you are giving tax dollars and you are not getting the thing for which you were giving your tax dollars. Like all the people talking about defund the police. Where the hell you think that money's going to go? That ain't your money. That's our money. That ain't your money. That's the taxpayers' money. That's not just a pot for you to stick your fat, grubby hands in and then spend it however the hell you want. That's our money. I don't know about you all, but I work damn hard. I know you do too. Do you work hard so somebody can take your money and go spend it however the hell they want? Or do you think that that money that you earn, that you are paying in as part of a social contract to receive a service, should come back to you if you are not receiving said service? I sure as hell didn't sign up for a social contract that says I'm going to pay the police only to have social justice warriors who believe in craptastic restorative justice, which is helping to drive the crime rate, take our money and go and spend it on their Marxist causes. I kind of joke and say, you know, I'm not going to tell you that that's how you get a boog, but that may be how you get a boog. I'm just saying. But then they're going to be all offended that you're offended. I'm offended that you're offended that I'm offended. I win. I'm going to tell you, the line crossed is when people who want to be left alone get mad. Then there's no coming back from that. Is the backlash still, it's still in its infancy stage, I believe. So California, there's a city in California. Remember they had the story of the Black Lives Matter mural? That was painted on the road, Redwood City. Get this. After there was a local attorney asked if she could paint MAGA 2020 on the same street, Maria Rutenberg, she said, if the street is now a public forum, I can also express my political statement here. And she's absolutely correct. And instead, the city council removed the BLM mural. But they said it was because it was a traffic hazard. So they were trying to cover their butts. The resident who first asked for the BLM mural said he was disappointed but understood. So that one was fine, but it wasn't fine if someone else wanted to do the same. Which is true. If it's a public forum, you're a resident there. You pay for that street. You can put whatever the hell you want on that street, too. If that's if that kind of vandalism is acceptable, then why can't you put what you want up there? I'm telling you. Equality before the law. We have a lot more coming, including digital fascism and the backlash beginning. And a couple of other things, including some of the crime in Portland. And we just got a lot. We also have Senator Josh Hawley. He'll be joining us later on.
A higher caliber of talk. Get Dana on demand through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
City in America for years. We've had a very tough few months, no doubt, and it is directly related to the coronavirus, the dislocation it's caused in our society, the fact that our court system is not functioning yet. So many factors that have been absolutely aberrant for just the last 4 or 5 months.
Oh, that's because that's why New York City's crime's bad. Just in the past 4 to 5 months, it's because of the coronavirus. It has not been at all because he's just been a craptastic mayor whose policies have contributed to a number of other factors that he doesn't cite that have actually driven the crime rate. Same thing as what's going on with Chicago and Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot. Did you hear what she had said? She said that she's under no circumstances is she going to allow a Portland-style crackdown. That is not going to happen. She took to Twitter last night and she said that she's not going to allow him to send a federal force to, and I use the word, this is exactly what she said, to come to Chicago and terrorize our residents. Well, guess what, Mayor Lightfoot? It's not the federal forces terrorizing your residents. It's your residents terrorizing your residents. That is who is driving your crime rate, your residents, who are terrorizing your other residents. And they would love it if you did something about it. Again, over 85% of your city's crime, Mayor Lightfoot, is not from a federal force. It's because you have residents who are repeat offenders because of the judicial rot in your city that doesn't even fully go after federal charges when individuals are committing felonious offenses and in possession illegally of a firearm. They want to blame law-abiding people for their lawlessness. That's what they're trying to do. You have not just Lightfoot, but you have other mayors. We're going to talk about Ted Wheeler's response here coming up. I read this interesting piece that was up at Town Hall, and it was headlined, which I don't, believe me, this is should be the last thing on earth anybody should ever want. And it was titled, What a Second American Civil War Could Look Like, because I fully believe that we're in another revolution. You have the revolution and then you have the War of Independence. For people ignorant of history, they won't be able to differentiate between the two. And I keep hearing this more and more. People say, oh, I feel that, you know, there's a looming civil war on the horizon. It's not inevitable yet, but it could be. And I think this is a very important sentence. It would not be fought like the American Revolution or even the Civil War, where disciplined armies observed the laws of war and respected civilian lives. Now you got far left radicals involved now. We'll talk a little bit more about this and more. Stick with us.
It's The Dana Show.
This segment of The Dana Show podcast is brought to you by Kel-Tec. They don't make ordinary firearms. They invent better ones. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec. Visit them at KelTecWeapons.com.
Portland, Oregon is not out of control. To be sure, there are some people who have strong feelings, and there are some who have done things that are inappropriate and unlawful. But that is the challenge of our local officials and our state officials to manage it. Not having somebody unwelcome,
you're not managing it, Bloom.
Uninvited,
Bloom-er.
And unprepared coming in to take this difficult situation and make it worse.
This is Earl Blumenauer. Blumenauer. That's right. I can never say his name right. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash at DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. Channel 248 Pluto TV via the first. All that good stuff. He's a Democrat from Portland. And he is 71 years old and wears a bow tie. Now, I'm going to get into the meat and potatoes of what he said here. But one of the things that is greatly weighing upon my heart is this epidemic of older dudes wearing bow ties. Bow ties are acceptable only if you are Orville Redenbacher, if you are in a tux, or if you are a toddler. Anything beyond that is unacceptable, and you should be roundly mocked back to good fashion senses as a result. So I feel like I have to share that, otherwise I'm not going to be able to talk anymore. He wears a bow tie. 71-year-old man wearing a bow tie. Stop it. Stop. That's like, you know, a 71-year-old woman still shopping at Forever 21. Quit. Same thing. So he says it's not out of control. Well, it is, and it's out of control because that's how the Democrat leadership wants it. They want it to be out of control. I think that there's two things going on here. I do believe that there are some Democrats who feel as though that if they just hold the hands and, you know, pat the head of some of these individuals, that those individuals will be inspired by the politician's kindness and their refusal to rush to force to stop the felonious criminal activity in which these rioters are engaged. And they think that this is going to be the best way to deal with it. And they may have, I mean, they may be real about it, and they may want it to end, but they have a ridiculous means to get to that end. And then I do believe that there are some Democrats who actually like the chaos, and they're doing this as a way to play chicken with the administration to bait Trump into responding with a certain amount of force so that they can turn around and say, oh, he's the police state guy, he's this, he's that, and push that narrative, which would actually be successful with some individuals. But they are playing a game of chicken nonetheless. Make no mistake, Democrats refusing to take control and do what they were elected to do in cities where you have this out of control violence and property destruction and citizenry living in fear, It's designed to bait the president into responding with a massive show of force. And if they're able to bait him into doing that, then they have a talking point. If they're able to bait him into doing that, then you're going to have all the libertarians come out and criticize Trump. I can't believe he uses this amount of force. Blah, 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 blah. So far, he's been really smart, and he hasn't taken that bait. And he's stuck to strictly constitutional articles wherein it concerns the protection of federal monuments, because that is one of the things that the federal government, and I will say it is one of the things in Article 1, Section 8, federal government and museums and things like that, that's one of the things that the founders provided for, because they wanted to make sure that the heritage of Americanism is protected and preserved. And I completely understand that. You have enough dictatorships and factions in other parts of the world that love to deconstruct the heritage of the previous civilization that ruled it. So I do understand. And I do agree with those with that strategy, but I think that thus far the administration I mean, for all the talk that Trump is like Hitler and that he's this big statist, etc., he hasn't responded like one. He hasn't. I mean, all of the talk that I hear from all of these, you know, some of the people in media and people like Blumenauer, these were the same people who accused the Tea Party back in 2009 and 2010 of doing the stuff that you see these people doing now. They accused us of so much garbage, but it's everything that the left has always done. I have a whole chapter on the violent left in my book, Flyover Nation. And so that's these individuals trying to cloak this illegal action with this, you know, fabric that, oh, this is a First Amendment. But it's not, though. Did you guys hear the story? This is a New York Post. A body that was found in a Minneapolis pawn shop that was torched in the George Floyd protest. It was 2 months after the building was burned down. Cops finally got in and they found this body. So this is another person murdered by rioters. Burned alive by rioters. David Dorn was murdered by rioters. You have other people who've been murdered in riots. This is another murder by riots. There's already been murder associated with these riots. You never had that with the Tea Party. You never had that with any damn conservative protest, honestly. And conservative protests never descended into riots like this. Their investigators, apparently somebody told police there in Minneapolis that there was a body in the rubble of Maxit Pawn on East Lake Street. And they said, yeah, it was because of arson. And it was the blaze that destroyed the pawn shop on May 28th. And they got one guy, a 25-year-old, with a federal arson charge last month. Now looks like they're going to get him with a murder charge, too. This shop is just a couple blocks east of the police department's 3rd Precinct Station House. And that was set on fire the same night during riots in the Floyd protests. So wait a minute. You're mad because one bad cop took a life of one guy. So you're going to take the life of a bunch of people? Just curious. So that's did you hear about this on MSNBC or CNN? No, because they want to obscure these facts. And like I said, they want to blame your gun rights for the crime that is brought on by their policies, while they simultaneously go after you for self-defense. So much of this, I look at some of these people in the streets and I'm just like, you're a Marxist or you are poorly educated. And the moms, these moms that are out there protecting this criminality, you need to be beating your kids' asses more than condoning their criminality. The problem today is that there's no consequence, there's no deterrent, there's no clear boundary. Goodness. It's still. So the cancel culture, all of this is still beginning. The canceling of cancel culture. I have a couple of things that we were talking about some stuff yesterday. I'm going to get into what you need to, some of the things you need to be watching for. And I'm going to really start hitting this every single week as we gear up to go back to school. Because I think even if your kids are remote learning, you need to pay attention to some of the stuff that your kids are being taught in school. Like, I'm very in tune as to what's going on with our school. Like, one of my kids' schools hired a chief diversity officer, and I don't even know what the hell that is. I'm just like, what even is that? I mean, is that something that you must require another position? But it's interesting because when I went and found everything that this person was doing on social media, this person is a racist socialist. I got receipts. I told you, I keep a file on everybody. I got receipts. Like, I mean, you scrub your social, but you got to be better than that. I mean, some of the most ignorant social media posts and retweets and likes and all of this stuff, just like ignorant, bigoted, racist stuff, socialist, Marxist garbage. Now, how in the hell are you going to be a chief diversity officer when you have stuff like this in your timeline? How is that happening? That's the thing. It's all about optics. It's all about optics. You even have some of the more conservative universities that are bending the knee to this stuff. No, imagine if I enforced the same standard over the tweets of the chief diversity officer of one of my kids' schools as, I don't know, this one school did with this one teacher. A Michigan school fired a popular teacher. All this teacher tweeted, and the original tweet is still up. All this dude did, very popular teacher, was support the president. That's it. He literally said, Trump is our president. I support Trump. And he was told he could be fired or resigned. And that was it. He said, I know I shouldn't say this, but Trump is our president and I support Trump. That's what he said. And he got fired for it. He legit got fired for this. This teacher got fired for it. This is where we are right now. This is, and Washington Free Beacon reported this. He was a social studies teacher in Michigan. He said he was hauled into HR. Actually, this is literally his tweet, still up. He tweeted it at 8:28 p.m., July 6, 2020. I'm done being silent, two spaces. At real Donald Trump is our president. Don't at me. And then after that, he was required to meet with human resources, the superintendent, and his principal on July 10th. They took his statement and asked that they wanted an explanation for it, and then told him they were going to have a decision about his future employment in the upcoming days. And when they completed their meeting, he was told that he had the option to either be fired or resign. And he said that his post was in support of the president's speech about reopening schools. Wow. And he was a super popular teacher. Even the teachers that disagreed with him politically said he was a good teacher. And even his some of his colleagues said he's never shared his political affiliations while teaching or coaching. Ever. Huh. See, that's the thing. It's he was fired because his pro-Trump comment, it's not someone has a pro-Trump view. It's not someone is, you know, pro the administration. Anything that disagrees with progressivism is anti. Even if it's done nuanced and academically, it is anti. It's not that this guy can have his own opinion. He's anti them. And because he's anti them, he cannot be allowed to stay there. Remember, schools, they want schools to be their domain. They want those to be their petri dishes of brainwashing. That's what they want them to be. So they will police that very rigidly. I mean, just unbelievable. And so he's heaven forbid you express like a one sentence statement of support for the administration. There it is. So that's, people can't even share opinions. It's not a protest, it's a revolution. It's not a protest, it's a revolution to shut down dissent, rewrite history, and to make you think that the country is toxic because the people who created our country were flawed. That's the whole point. And we're going to touch on some of that here coming up with some of the curricula that may or may not be in your kid's school when everybody goes back. Maybe everybody goes back this fall, kind of. Some of that is that 1619 project. Because, whew, boy, we have a lot more coming up. And we're also going to be speaking with a representative, Briscoe Kane, who said that he will he had a very interesting tweet. He's been out there on Twitter, and he was talking about how he would give help if needed to people who were being persecuted. We're going to talk about all of this, so don't go anywhere. What makes Patriot Mobile different? It's their exceptional customer satisfaction. It's because they listen to your needs and share the same values. As America's only Christian conservative wireless service provider, Patriot Mobile is committed to supporting organizations fighting for religious freedom, First and Second Amendments, sanctity of life, and the needs of veterans and first responders by donating a portion of every dollar to the causes you believe in. And now, with the broadcast coverage of any provider on dependable nationwide 4G LTE networks, all Patriot Mobile plans include unlimited talk and data with high-value commitment-free plans to fit any budget. Call the U.S.-based team at 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. Use promo code Dana for free activation, multi-line discounts, veteran and first responder discounts, and up to $600 in referral bonus dollars. Make the switch today to Patriot Mobile. Call 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. That's 972-PATRIOT or patriotmobile.com/Dana. Patriot Mobile, mobilizing conservatives.
You won't miss any Dana shows by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
So Walmart is going to close its stores on Thanksgiving, ending that Black Friday tradition that always drew the fights that we always talked about, you know, the next day on air. It's ending its tradition of kicking off in-store Black Friday sales on Thanksgiving Day. They said all stores are going to be closed on Thanksgiving, and it's going to pay out a third round of bonuses to U.S. employees in August. Interesting. Game of Thrones prequel, The House of Dragons, begins casting as HBO aims for a 2022 debut. This is for those of you nerds who like Game of Thrones. I'm looking forward to this. So they're casting for the prequel to everything that we watched on HBO, The House of Dragons. So obviously it's going to be about the Targaryens, and it's going to chart that family and their rise in the Seven Kingdoms. And it'll be about 300 years before the series that we watched took place. And the show veterans who directed Battle of the Bastards, which was really cool. That was Jon Snow's fight against Ramsay Bolton. They're going to apparently head the series. So we're going to have some good programming. I feel like Robert De Niro telling Greg Focker, yeah, we'll enjoy that in a couple of years when it blooms. Greg, we will. Great, thanks. As we move on, a mysterious giant hangar that was spotted at Area 51 4 months ago has now disappeared, according to new aerial pictures. Some guy flew his Cessna right near the border, right by the restricted airspace. He flew by in April, and then apparently he did so again a couple weeks ago. And the box, he was right there at the border of the box. That's the no-go zone. That's what they call it. It's running Area 51 the restricted airspace around Nellis Air Force Range. He received permission from air traffic controllers to do it because it was cold, so there was no military flights taking place. But there was a giant hangar, and now the giant hangar isn't there. Is it because of aliens? I don't know. Maybe. I, too, like to set my money on fire. This is at least my interpretation of people like Natalie Portman and others, according to Yahoo, bringing a female soccer team to Los Angeles. Okay, go ahead. That's a new women's pro soccer team. Okay, yay. Stay with us. Briscoe Kane joins us next.
This portion of the Dana Show is brought to you by Kel-Tec. They don't make ordinary firearms. They invent better ones. Innovation. Performance. Kel-Tec. Visit us at KelTecWeapons.com.
America's youth will act responsibly, and we're asking everybody that when you are not able to socially distance, wear a mask, get a mask. Whether you like the mask or not, they have an impact, they'll have an effect, and we need everything we can get.
I don't have a problem with that. Here's the thing that I think a lot of people, and welcome back to the show, DanaLash.com, that I think people don't understand. It's that everyone I know isn't against wearing a mask. We're against being forced to, which is a huge difference, big difference. For instance, the last weekend, we were out with kids and went into it's an all awesome old time candy store, small business. We wanted root beer and candy cigarettes because have you lived unless you've given your kids candy cigarettes? I don't know. No. And they required a mask. I'm not going to, play 20 questions with them. Maybe they have someone who's immunocompromised. I don't know. I have the freedom not to go in. They have the freedom to do what they want. It's a private business. I'm not a bake the cake person. But there's one thing with you choosing to wear one and then being forced to wear one. And I think in the back and forth of Trump said, he's encouraging people with masks. That's kind of that nuance is getting lost. And it's one of the things I loved this, that was brought up by Texas Representative Briscoe Kane, who is one of the most Texan names in all of Texas. And he joins us via Skype. Beautiful day outside. Representative Kane, good to see you. And I loved what you had tweeted, because this was after the whole mask mandate thing was going on and the fine, $250 fine? And you had said, get fined for not wearing a mask. I will gladly represent you for free. So I have to ask you, how many people have taken you up on that offer at this point?
Well, look, no one has been fined to date here in Texas. I've heard of some warnings being given out, and actually that would maybe even create standing to bring litigation over this, but no one's been fined and wanted to fight it. However, if someone does get fined, give me a call. I love that you bring up this idea of being forced versus choosing, and I think a lot of people are missing that. In fact, we see a lot of people talking about maybe the dangers of wearing a mask or how it does something with oxygen. Let's not get caught up in that. The question is, can the government force me to do it? Because what if for a moment we would pretend that wearing a mask prolonged your life and made you rich? Could the government force you to do it? And we as, you know, people that care about personal liberty would say no. And so it has to be a question of, can the government force us to do it? And the number two that a lot of people seem to miss is, can the executive branch pass a law making me do that? In many states, our constitutional history of state constitutions are clear. The legislature cannot give that kind of power to an executive. Yet, because of the length of time it takes to get to the courts, those answers aren't being done. And so there's two ways of looking at it. Can you be forced to do this? Because a lot of people say, well, we make you wear helmets with motorcycles or seatbelts in cars. Sure, well, I don't like either one of those things being forced upon
me. And it's also a bad argument.
It wasn't done by an executive.
Because you can choose to not drive a motorcycle, and you can choose to not get in a car, and you can choose to take public transportation. It's a completely illogical comparison.
But they're still done by the legislative body, right? And oftentimes not by the fiat of an executive.
Right.
That was kind of the separation of powers idea of our nation and of our state. So there's kind of multiple levels of problem here.
Right. No, and I like that you bring up that how they always try to use that comparison as well, because I see that so many times whenever anyone pushes back against, whether it's a lawmaker like yourself or anyone in punditry or just even an average private citizen who's questioning this, especially as this discussion of schools reopening and some districts are reopening, some are still maybe reopening and not until later this fall. But that question of masks always comes up, and that's the thing that we oppose. And I have my own separate problem with people lying about the efficacy of cloth masks, which is a whole other issue. They try to act as though they're the same as the surgical masks or the N95s, which they're not. And I think that when you're talking about a mandate for masks, maybe, I don't know, showcase the effective ones that actually work if you're really going to talk about saving lives. But it is.
But if they were really effective, if they were perfectly proven to filter everything, would you then be okay with making us wear a mask?
No. No.
And so then we shouldn't worry about that. The question is, can the government force that upon me? Can it force me to take a medicine? Can it forcibly inject something into my body or my child's body? Can it make me wear a mask, even if it's helping me?
I think
and that's
a really
important distinction that we have to say no.
Yeah.
Regardless of the benefits or the dangers, you can't do that.
And to your point, people focus so much on the issue of the mask, and as you know, as we were talking about, there's two issues with this. It's the first is that it's not that we oppose them; it's that we oppose the requirement, the government requirement, being forced to wear one when we want to be able to object. And the second thing too with this is that when the mask in this equation, in this logical equation, is a variable. If the government can require you to wear this variable, to wear, you know, variable A, then does that not also set up a precedent for them to be able to require you to do other things, to wear other things? Or, you know, I mean, because a lot of people bring up vaccinations. I support vaccinations, but again, I'm one of those individuals who I support something if I choose it, but I don't like to be forced.
Exactly. And I'm the same way on that. And I think when people given back want to argue about the health or the downsides of them, get into a dangerous ground, because the question really ultimately should be, can the government force me to do it, even if it benefits me? And I would say no. But yeah, it does set a dangerous precedent. In fact, as an attorney and someone who reads a lot of case law, we actually see that when courts are debating whether the government can do something, they will literally say, well, and in this time we said they could do this, right? And they'll create a logical step, right, where they're justifying government actions because of past actions. And so you're right. Everyone should be concerned about this, because if we're able to do this now, there will be a case some years from now where they say, you know, the government was allowed to force people to do these things. They were allowed to force them to wear masks, et cetera. And now the government can force us to do.
Like, I'm always amazed
when
because I've seen people disagree with you on stuff like this on social media, and these were also the same people that completely supported the Paul Ryan's going to push your grandma off a cliff, and everyone is killing people if net neutrality isn't passed. I mean, those were the same people who supported those statements, and they think they want to ignore the nuance of this discussion. But to just walk that through, just because I want to bring that to a I want to bring that picture up. What else could this establish? Like, what do you fear the most with the establishment of a precedent like this? Like, what do you see realistically being the next step? Like, today it's masks, tomorrow it's
I think realistically, the next step is going to deal with medicine. It's the government's going to be either, you know, not just on vaccines, but if we even continue to socialize it, they're going to be able to force us to take things for our own benefit, right? Because of a social cost, right? That I have to then, take certain vitamins or certain medicines for preventative health reasons, because they get to say so, because it's about the greater good, right? This so-called social compact that's not actually American at all, right? We're about individualism. Not this compact we have with each other forced upon us by government. We have that by our own choosing.
Right.
The government doesn't force us
it's
into it, right?
Forced by
and so I think that's one of the directions.
Here's a question for you, and this is related to the whole mask wearing. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine who lives in Tennessee, and one of the things that they had brought up, because they were privy to some of the stuff that was going on with their particular county's Board of Health, was this idea that, well, what if masks are required this November to go and cast a vote? Is that something, you know, we get into this mandate and we get into this requirement, is that something that, do you believe that that could potentially be a way to suppress voting? And if it's masks today, could it be later, like the vaccine, etc.? I mean, is that something that worries you? And is there that you're aware of, in like, just because we're in Texas, and I encourage people to check their own respective states, but are you, from your experience with Texas law, is there a protocol for dealing with something like that? Or because I'm just worried that we're going to roll up into November and we're not going to have this figured out, and this is going to be a fight.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. In fact, just because I think a rule like that would probably eventually be struck, the issue is courts take a long time, right? Mm-hmm. And so people would be oppressed or disenfranchised while that took place.
Yes.
And it's really difficult to stop, because election contests happen so very quickly, right? Some liberals could get a judgment or an order the day before. And we're often, as conservatives, caught off guard because
right.
we don't abuse the court systems. And so it would happen. And even though eventually it'd be held that they weren't allowed to do that, it's too late, right? And so people have to remain vigilant. I don't think governments are allowed to do that, right? You've got this right to vote, and you can't be disenfranchised. Just like I doubt governments right now that are saying people can't sing in church.
Right.
That's probably problematic. It's yet to be struck. It probably will be held to be unconstitutional under their state constitution or the federal. But right now, the harm is being done. And sadly, with elections, that's a very short period of time.
It is.
We are seeing studies where people are not going out to vote. They're afraid. Right? You may know, I as a campaigner, I've met a lot of older folks who say, I don't vote early. And I don't vote by mail. I've voted on election day my whole life in person. And we're seeing some studies where those people aren't going to vote. Because of their fear of going to get sick. But they didn't mail in their ballots, so they didn't vote for us conservatives.
Ooh.
Yet the other side's cheating and coming up with all kinds of excuses for mail-in ballots, at least in Texas, where we don't allow you to vote by mail just because you're afraid of catching COVID.
I feel like volunteering at different polling precincts and would just show up with like some Clorox wipes and offer to just like wipe everybody down that is going in there if they are concerned about, you know, getting out and getting exposed to the virus. If you're voting Republican, I'll wipe you down with Clorox. I'm slightly kidding.
No, and that's the idea of
really.
A least restrictive means, that if there's another way to accomplish the goal,
right.
The government should have been allowing, you know, we saw those little almost can't think of another word for it, little finger rubber things for
yes,
people to, you know,
yes.
to spin well. There's other things, and so let's go for it, right?
We'll see. State Representative Briscoe Cain, again, the most Texan name in the history of Texas, just about. Appreciate you joining me this afternoon. Thank you so much.
God bless, Dana.
You too.
Delivering the truth online and on air. Listen to The Dana Show live on the radio or at danaradio.com or on demand.
Making my point, go, please call on Dr. Leonidas from Stanford. Please call on some of the researchers from Oxford. Please call on, these are very smart people.
Hey, we have experts. We have a number of epidemiologists on CNN every day. You're aware of that.
Call the epidemiologists on who are raising real legitimate questions about whether or not we should have locked
down.
We're
talking about the White House task force. It's not like we're not deviating from any sort of accepted science here. This is what the White House task force is saying.
To your point, right, but go talk to the doctors who are out there saying, and who are very smart doctors. This is Stanford, right? I'm not talking about...
So you want a second opinion on the White House coronavirus task force? You want a second opinion on the CDC?
I want second and third and fourth opinions on all
of these things. Sounds like you just want to confuse people.
Because, no, I want to know the truth, Brianna. I want to look when my doctor diagnosed...
So what happened in this discussion? Chip Roy goes on, and save this because we'll come back to this. Chip Roy goes on. He's talking to Brianna Keller. I think that's how you say her name, on CNN. And she tried, she like jumped over his whole point. He was discussing the number of positive cases in Texas, right? And she was insistent on presenting, as so many people in media are, positive cases as, oh, well, these are just basically fatalities, right? And they want to... They're trying to push an irrational fear over reasonable concern, which is anti-science. And without presenting, when you present the number of cases without the context of the dramatically reduced fatality rate, without the context of the lowered severity percentage, that you're purposefully misleading. And he was driving that point, and she kept trying to sidestep it. And then now she's, I mean, do you see how he's saying... And discussing here, you know, in the state of Texas, for instance, and every state's different. Well, this is discussing the positive cases in Texas because you have an increased amount of testing. There's like 19 places to get tested, like right around my house. It's insane. And some of them are like the really quick ones that like turn it around like in what, 12 to 24 hours, something like that. Not the several days one. And it's pretty unbelievable to see them cling to this point and omit that context. That's misleading, deliberately so. We're going to discuss more on this as well. But right now, we got some Florida Man.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I have one that I want to get to, and then I have the other ones that I actually have on my rundown. A Florida man in Fort Lauderdale, his kangaroo got loose. I want a kangaroo now. I don't want that like big buff one that always comes up in the memes, though. That one scares me. Anthony Macias, 24, was charged with allowing his kangaroo to escape. This is not like a phrase for anything. It's a legitimate, literal, actual kangaroo. And having no record of purchasing it, which apparently are both misdemeanors, he got a violation for not having a permit for his kangaroo, according to Florida Fish and Wildlife. And it was in Broward. And he has apparently no record at all, but he's got a kangaroo named Jack. And he said that his kangaroo is friends with his corgi named Max, and he's just apparently likes animals. I hope they're nice to the kangaroo, though, because I don't like the way that they were putting this collar on it. Now I'm going to get weird because of the kangaroo. It looks like a juvenile. I don't know how big they get. I know nothing about kangaroos, but because it's cute, it looks like a baby. I don't know. Maybe. I'm sure you'll find it. I don't know. moving on here from the kangaroo. The Florida woman calls 911 over a broken refrigerator. This might seem like a silly story, but it's actually a sweet story. Deputies, this is from Click Orlando, deputies arranged for a woman to get a working refrigerator from Goodwill. And this is in Jensen Beach, Florida. A distraught senior citizen called 911 because a refrigerator broke, and she just had no idea what to do. She didn't know what she was going to. They went to her home. Deputies went to her home to explain that this number is reserved for emergencies. Cheryl Nanatonis told Martin County Sheriff's deputies that she thought all of her food was going to spoil. So she called for help, according to their Facebook post. Deputies realized she made the call because she did believe that she was in a crisis. So they didn't want to leave without finding a solution. So they called the Jensen Beach Goodwill, and they got a gently used refrigerator to be delivered to her, and they said that she is now back on track. So I think that's a sweet story. One of the comments goes, soon they'll be answering calls about someone stealing things she misplaced, which is kind of funny, but still, that was very nice that they did that, right? That's a great story. I love that. And good night. This woman, this was from Daily Mail. Cops are hunting a woman who tried to steal a gigantic television that is bigger than she is from Walmart. It was in near Tampa. That's Rachel's hood. It was near Tampa. She tried to walk out with a 65-inch television. And then when she was asked by security for her receipt, she tried running. Oh my, it's huge. It's the biggest TV I've ever seen. Stick with us. We got more in store.
It's the Dana Show.
We absolutely need to hold accountable Russia, China, whoever wants to interfere with our process of developing a vaccine or cyber hack us in any other way, and there are enormous number of tools to do so. I do want to point out, and just simply make an urgent plea, one of the gentleman's arguments was that China hid the true risk of the virus from the American people. And yes, that is terrible that China did that. It's not actually their job to warn the American people.
Oh, my gosh.
It's the president's job.
Oh, my gosh. And he did. This is the moronic Democrat chairman, Adam Smith, who is, you know, the Communist Party of China applauds him for defending them, as he is. Welcome back to the show. DanaLash.com, at DanaLash on Twitter, official DanaLash on Facebook, channel 248, Pluto TV, be the first. I just want to get to the content. When you say that like multiple times a day, you get so damn tired of saying it. That's why I want it to be a button, just so it says it. It's a lot. I feel like Trump. I shook 600 hands. I mean, I was baking like a cake. Anyway, so that is Democrat Chairman Adam Smith, who is, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Well, you know, it's not China's job to warn everybody. They unleashed a virus onto the world that's killed people and ruined economies. And while they're trying to make themselves strategically more powerful than the United States, yeah, that's kind of a problem. And the president did warn. In fact, while Democrats were telling everyone to not wear masks and to leave and to go out, and they took trips to Chinatown and they were walking with crowds of people and taking photos, Nancy Pelosi, the president had already assembled the coronavirus task force and was already looking to stop travel from Wuhan, for which those same exact Democrats, including Adam Smith, called him a racist. And it's so ridiculous. With Democrats like these, who needs communists? Who needs communists? Good night. So part of the whole shutdown with all of this, part of the one of the things that's come up is this fight over schools, right? The fight over when schools should open. When should they reopen? And as I said earlier, I'm just so fed up with the hypocrisy of people who are coming down on the heads of, you know, of families who are wondering, when are we going to be sending our kids back to school? When is this going to happen? And they're lectured to by all of these people who want to act holier than thou. And they're telling these families, you're risking teachers' lives. While these same exact people have admitted that they're completely fine with risk. They're risking the lives of people who work at grocery stores, and they're risking the lives of the trash collectors, and they're risking the lives of those who work in sanitation departments, sewage departments, water departments, the electric, all of it. They're fine with that because it provides a convenience to them. So that risk is acceptable to them, and they're going to pretend that they're not risking anything when in fact they're risking just as much, and in some cases, if not more. I was reading this. It's a very interesting piece. It's actually over at MSN. And the headline is, "Listen to the Science and Reopen Schools." Listen to the science and reopen schools. And it discussed actual fact with all of this, which is amazing. In fact, the piece says, "Multiple studies show that children are not only less likely to become seriously ill from the coronavirus, they are also only half as likely to get infected in the first place. Overall, the rate of infection requiring hospitalization among U.S. school-aged children from 5 to 17 since the beginning of the pandemic through July 4th was roughly 1 in 20,000. And what about the risk to teachers and staff? Again, listen to science. A report led by the former head of the CDC and prevention, CDC under President Obama, concluded that children appear less likely than adults to transmit coronavirus to others, unlike other viruses like influenza, though this evidence is still limited and preliminary. Studies examining schools with known cases of coronavirus have shown low transmission rates. And for instance, in one case, just 2 students and no teachers infected out of 863 close contacts. Others show confirmed infections, and even among teachers and students who sat in the same classrooms with a symptomatic child. Other studies shed light on why childhood infection rates and school-based transmissions may be so low. Compared to adults, children have lower levels of receptors in their airways that allow the coronavirus into our bodies. And children also may not generate as many breath droplets that can transmit coronavirus. You know, science. And they said, additionally, from numerous studies, the impacts on the community as a whole, studies show that social distancing measures have actually been critical to flattening the curve of the coronavirus infection, but school closures may be among the least effective. A study of county rates of coronavirus across the United States from earlier this year found no evidence, and I'm reading from this piece on MSN directly, no evidence that school closures influenced the growth rate in coronavirus infections, and two international studies similarly found large reductions in coronavirus spread from social distancing policies, but no significant effect from school closures on their own. No scenario of in-person schooling is risk-free, and there will be infections. Israel has had some instances of that. They've had nearly 2,000 student and teacher cases since reopening in May, though notably, they didn't implement social distancing when they opened. They didn't limit classroom sizes, whereas there were 22 other countries who reopened schools, and they had no rise in coronavirus infections. They did limit classroom sizes, and they just implemented social distancing. But see, you can't have a conversation about that because you're accused of wanting to kill teachers. So it's not a return to schools as usual, but this idea that just keeping schools closed is going to limit the spread is unsupported by science. In fact, the biggest thing in limiting it out of everything that they've studied has been the social distancing. So the reopening the schools, that's why you had the CDC director. That's why you had Renfield say, yeah, kids need to go back to school. Yes, they need to go back. Absolutely. That's and he said this. He said that he would send his grandchildren back to school this fall. Robert Redfield. He was on Good Morning America. He was on ABC. He said he would be totally comfortable sending his grandkids back to school. He said the only exception is his grandchild that has cystic fibrosis. He said, but even that case is based on accommodation. He said he's totally comfortable with it, and he would only have, quote, some reservation about his grandson with cystic fibrosis, depending on how he could be accommodated in school, end quote. He also said, quote, I think it's really important to get our schools open. It's not public health versus opening schools or the economy. It's public health versus public health. I think there are really a number of negative public health consequences that have happened to our K-12 students. And he's absolutely right. And Redfield says he talked about, you know, the mask wearing and all of that, but he really was hitting the social distancing. So there is no scientific basis for schools to not reopen, especially when you can have certain things, and I realize that you have to look at hallways and you have to look at cafeterias and times during the day where you can have kind of a bottleneck effect of traffic there. But, you know, it seems that we're all educated people, so it shouldn't be incredibly difficult or a strain on our mental faculties to figure out the best way to deal with it, whether it is staggering dismissal times for certain parts of the school, whether it is, you know, having some students go part, you know, one day instead of doing the remote learning, if it's absolutely impossible to social distance or stagger letting out classes at certain times, maybe then if it's absolutely required, you would have remote learning for, you know, part of the day and then go to school for another part of the day. But schools have got to reopen. Otherwise, you're going to have a lost generation. I promise you. I promise you, you will. And it'll be the left on the hook for that. Because this is ridiculous. Now, like I said, I'm not against masks. I think cloth masks are stupid. Unless you get the ones with the filter in, the little filters in them that are like the surgical mask filter, but because they're regulated like medical devices, they got to be careful how they say it. It's also ridiculous. But the regular basic cloth mask is just an optic. It really is. Let's be real. But I'm not against masks. As I said earlier, I'm against being forced to wear them. I'm against being forced by the government to do anything. The fact that I pay taxes, I scream. Because especially now that I'm not getting a return on my services. Or a return on my money. I'm not getting the services for it. So and that's a nuance that I don't know any conservative unless it's for health reasons. Now, I do. I know that I have horrible allergies. And like right now, I've been fighting a migraine off all day. related to sinus pressure, because there's actually a handful of things every season that I am severely allergic to, and I've had blood tests, all kinds of stuff. So it's a legitimate thing. And so when I can't breathe, I can't wear a face mask. So I just don't leave my house. Today, I'm not going to leave my house. If I wear a face mask today, I'll suffocate. So I'm not going to leave my house. It's no big deal. There you go. Solved. And I understand that there are some people who have health issues. Therefore, they're not able to wear them. However, and they're conservatives. I don't think that you get to determine what everyone else does based upon what you can or cannot do. Now, I believe that individuals should be kind and be good Samaritans, gesture of goodwill, blah, blah, blah. Yes, but, you know, that's something that goes along with free will. That's not something a government enforces. And I really don't, I mean, surely you're not telling me that there are conservative Christians out there who think a godless government can enforce something like that, right? Okay. You know, the same one that sanctions infanticide. Okay, just making sure. Never give the mob an inch, I'm telling you. So there's actually a piece that talks about how maybe perhaps we should cancel Aristotle. I'm not even making this up. This is so, it's getting so ridiculously ridiculous. That is a New York Times editorial. Really, it actually is. It's an opinion piece. Should we cancel Aristotle? Actually, yeah. I think that some of this is trying to show how ridiculous cancel culture is, because that actually has been something posed by some cancel culture people. I can't even keep track of what's being canceled and what isn't being canceled at this particular point. And to that, there's even more. A couple of great pieces, including this one story that I want to share with you really quickly, because part of the cancel culture is the discussion on appropriation. Have you heard of this story? This is where all of the accusations that someone is culturally appropriating something. This is why it's stupid. So there is a black Irish dancing TikTok star, which I think is an abuse term, a 20-year-old black Irish dancer. She's actually from Richmond, Virginia, but she's been performing Irish dance routines for the past 10 years. Morgan Bullock is 20 years old. And she began putting her videos up on TikTok earlier this year. And then in May, she posted a video where she was doing contemporary songs, but with Irish dancing choreography. And it's actually kind of cool. And it captured the attention of the Riverdance director. He invited Bullock to perform in his show when it comes in Virginia. And she's received a lot of praise, but then a lot of people have been very critical and they're accusing her of appropriating Irish culture. Now, as someone, now here's where I can actually throw in, look at this, because my ancestry is a mix of American Indian and Irish. No, stop it. It's not if you braid your hair, you're not appropriating culture. You can wear a kimono, you're not appropriating culture. Stop presenting cultural exchange as appropriation, because only racists and bigots do that. You might be a racist if you're complaining about someone celebrating culture by wanting to wear something because they think it's beautiful, or do something because they appreciate the artistry involved, and you're accusing them of appropriating it. It is not distinctly yours. There are millions of other people who share your culture, and there are millions of humans who share humanity, and we're all on planet Earth together. It is racist. It's ridiculous. It's racist when leftists accuse conservatives of it, or when white people somebody accused me one time of appropriating black culture because I wear giant gold hoops. And I always have. And I said, actually, you're appropriating Sumerian culture. So shut the hell up. And only racists think that only people who are white should do white things and people who are black should do black things. And they should only eat white or black foods, because this idea that there's white or black foods is simply a social construct, if you want to use that term correctly. Stop it. Anybody can Irish dance if they want to. And I'm going to keep on wearing my hoops. Come and take it.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Well, this is an interesting turn of affairs, turn of business here. The San Francisco Gate reports that the Oakland mayor's home was vandalized with phrases like defund the police and cancel rent. And after all of these phrases, it also included homes for all and blood on your hands. It's not a protest, it's a revolution. And then they set off fireworks in the street and they launched projectiles at the Oakland mayor's house. Mayor Libby Schaaf then now supports not defunding the police. Yeah, she cast. Yeah, she is now examining how to not defund the police. Isn't that interesting? She's had a change of heart after she saw what it would look like. Let's see. Oh, this is a crazy story. This comes from NBC New York. Flames tore through a New Jersey egg farm and killed thousands of chickens. Delicious, delicious chickens. Firefighters spent hours battling a fire at New Jersey, a chicken and egg farm Monday night, not to make light of it, but it was a huge facility, hours battling the flames. No one was hurt, but several hundred thousand chickens inside the barn were engulfed in flames, which is awful. And I'm just curious if it smelled good. I'm just asking. It's awful. Like, don't. China orders Christians to destroy crosses on their churches and take down images of Jesus in their intensifying crackdown on religion. Coming up, Senator Josh Hawley joins us next on China and other issues. Stick with us.
Missed anything from the show? Subscribe to Dana's Daily Podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
So this consulate is basically a front for it's kind of the central node of a massive spy operation, commercial espionage, defense espionage, also influence agents to try to influence Congress. You know, they use businessmen as fronts in many cases to try to influence members of Congress and other political leaders at the state and local level.
Now, that is Marco Rubio, Senator Rubio, who was discussing that video. Was wild. It was captured by Channel 2 in Houston, KPRC, and it showed people outside of the Consulate General of China in Houston, Texas, and they were hosing down what appeared to be open containers. There's stuff on fire in the open containers. Apparently, they're burning documents. This is one of the craziest things here in Houston, Texas. Not here in Texas, but down in Houston. And I noted Senator Josh Hawley, he retweeted this a few hours ago, and he said, China government officials burning papers before their consulate is closed today in Houston. And of course, the closure is in response to the hackers that were caught trying to steal not just some IP, but also information about the vaccine. The vaccine itself, first we get the virus from communist China, and now they want to steal the vaccine. So this was in response to this. And now China says there's going to be a penalty for this, whatever that's going to be. Joining us now on the phone, Senator Josh Hawley from the Show Me State. Senator Hawley, always a pleasure to have you. And I want to get into the latest legislation that you're proposing, but I have to get your reaction to what this video that you retweeted that took place in Houston. China says that they're going to have some kind of response to this. What would China's response to this be? And I would imagine that they should be more afraid of the United States' response, considering we were the ones who were the targets of their espionage activities.
You bet they should be, Dana. And I applaud the administration for taking this move and closing the consulate. It's a bold move, but it's absolutely necessary because they have been running basically a glorified spy ring. And they are trying to influence elected officials, including members of Congress. And we have been warned, members have been warned about this for months now, that China is stepping up its espionage activities across a range of fronts. And so this is just one more instance, and we should not allow them to get away with it. Now, about the burning of the papers, you know, what I said is when I saw that video, listen, you don't burn papers if you don't have something to hide. I mean, we've seen this movie before when people who are getting kicked out of the country, spies getting kicked out of the country, they try to burn everything so that our officials, law enforcement, can't actually see what was going on. So that right there is basically an implicit admission by them that they've been doing all kinds of crazy and probably illegal things, certainly in violation of their treaty commitments. So more to come on this story, I think, as we learn more about it. But it is important that we stand up and say we're drawing the line.
Yeah, very important, especially what you mentioned, too, them increasing their efforts to maybe compromise members of Congress. I mean, do you get the idea that that was sort of the goal? And I always go back. The reason I bring this up is because I go back to the old story of Senator Dianne Feinstein and her driver, who apparently was in with the CPC and may or may not have been a part of such an activity.
It's absolutely their goal. And they have been at it now for some time, although I think really since around the end of last year, I mean, there has been a significant uptick in espionage activity. And as relates to members of Congress, everything from trying to influence them, tracking people's movements, and then also trying to coerce them, you know, co-opt them at least. I mean, try to get them to support various CCP initiatives using a range of measures. So this is a pattern now. I mean, Beijing has been on the offensive. They are imperialists. They're the world's new imperialists. They want to impose their ideology, which is really just basically old-fashioned authoritarian Beijing supremacy. They want to impose that on the world, and they know that we are what is standing. We Americans are what stand between them and world power, and that's why we've got to stand strong.
And we're also funding them, though, because we do so much business with China and the that instant consumer gratification. Now, to this point, you've introduced a bill that is targeting looks at corporate America to hold them accountable. And obviously, this is a hit at China because you want to make it to where corporate America is held accountable for slave labor involved in their supply chains. It's called the Slave Free Business Certification Act. It's Senate Bill 4241, and it increases corporate supply chain disclosure requirements, audits, all of that. And you even mentioned how you have so many celebrities here in our country that are hawking products. And this obviously has to be a hit at the NBA as well, because they're making millions of dollars off of slave labor that assembles their products. And then, of course, you look at the NBA. You have tweeted or you announced the pledge, and you said that you called on Nike, LeBron James, and the NBA to take the pledge for this act. Have you had any response to that question? Have they taken the pledge?
No, they haven't taken the pledge. It's a simple pledge, Dana. It just is, I am slave free. And we started the hashtag slave free because every American multinational like Nike, like the NBA, like the NFL for that matter, and all the others that do business overseas, they ought to be able to tell us as Americans that they are not profiting off of slave labor. And these same companies, many of which have gladly taken our jobs away and sent them overseas, one of the reasons it turns out it's so darn cheap is because they use slave labor, like in concentration camps in China. Nike has done this. Apple has done this. So they ought to pledge to the public right now that they are slave-free. And yeah, the celebrities who have product lines with these different companies, they ought to say, they ought to guarantee that these product lines are slave-free.
Now, what is the best way to sort of reprioritize American consumer behavior habits while, you know, still respecting the Constitution and the principles that drive us to be conservatives? Because, you know, I just know that when I make a conscious effort every day. I'd like, for just to give you an example, I'd get drinking glasses, just like regular glasses for like water and soda and tea. I could not believe how many things were made in China, and I actually had to do legwork to make sure I found something that was made in the USA. It is insane how difficult this is because so much is made in China. Americans, and it can't just be like some Americans, everybody has to stop and make this a purposeful choice. But in addition to holding corporate America accountable, what can we do to, I don't know if it's like a situation of incentivizing, but with respect to our limited government constitutional stance, how can we do that and encourage everyday Americans to do the same and to stop funding the Communist Party of China?
Well, number one, I think that we can get together in a program like this one and an effort like this in a social movement like Slave Free and say we're going to expect Nike and Adidas and clothing manufacturers, we're going to expect them to not use forced slave labor, for heaven's sake. Right. We're going to demand that. We're going to say, you got to be slave free. Because you know what? That would actually incentivize in the long run. That would incentivize bringing jobs back to this country. Plus, it is the right thing to do. But beyond that, Dana, I also think we've got to get our supply chains moved back to the United States. And in a lot of instances, we just need to require that a certain percentage amount of the goods be made in this country, especially for stuff like pharmaceuticals, our drugs, our right. protective equipment and gear. Too much of that is made overseas, and it is actually a security and a health risk. So we should just say, listen, you got to make X amount here in the United States. And if we did that, then these companies would find a way to do it, and it would mean more American jobs. That to me, rather than, you know, you can try and tax them, you can try and regulate them, and you know, there are places, there are better and worse ways to do that. But there's a lot to be said for just saying, listen, when it comes to particularly our national security, our health, we're just going to mandate that you make this stuff in the United States. And that, I think, is a great option that we need to use.
Why is it always the wokest people are the biggest abusers of this? I mean, you have, with all the riots and everything that we have out there now, so many people talking about equality, but yet there really isn't a lot of objection in the media. In fact, we played audio just a little bit ago, Democratic Chairman Adam Smith, who is defending China and the coronavirus. Why is it that it's the wokest people who make the biggest displays of defense for a nation like communist China carrying out all of these egregious human rights abuses?
Because they don't want to do anything that would actually affect their bottom line. Damn, at the end of the day, I mean, that's the dirty little secret. These big, these woke corporations, these woke capitalists, they are happy to give hundreds of millions of dollars to charitable organizations, including Black Lives Matter, which is not a charitable organization, and to try and distract. Like, look, we're woke, we're socially just. But then you say to them, okay, well, how about you quit shipping jobs overseas? How about you quit relying on slave labor? Oh, no, no, no. Oh, they're not going to do that, because that would actually impact their strategies, their money. They'd have to do something different about that. So it's time that we stood up to them and we said, listen, we expect you not to use slave labor. We also expect you to prioritize American principles and American workers. That's what real social responsibility looks like.
You had the Senate Committee on Homeland Security unanimously voted to approve your bill banning TikTok on government-issued devices. And as everybody knows, TikTok is it's just a Chinese company, and there's all kinds of questions as to security because communist China. I'm actually shocked that this was even allowed on government devices in the first place, Senator.
It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, this is, you talk about a common sense thing, and I'm glad it passed today. Hope it'll pass to the full Congress here really soon. But we've got to get TikTok off of the government devices. And Dana, at the end of the day, what we really need is, we need TikTok to get separated from the Chinese control. We need the parent company in China to sell TikTok. The problem is right now, TikTok was purchased by a China-based company. And so now, I mean, for all those folks out there who are listening to the show and have it on their phones, it seems like a fun app, and it is. Problem is, it's spying on you 24/7, your searches, your keystrokes, your contact list. It's scooping all that stuff up, and it can transfer it to Beijing and the Chinese Communist Party. That just should not be allowed in the United States of America. American consumers should not be put at risk like that. So we've got to stop that data collection. We've got to stop that data transfer. And ultimately, countries like China shouldn't probably be allowed to do business in this space in the United States when they have access to sensitive technology, unless they can guarantee that they are not taking our data. And unfortunately, that's what they're doing with TikTok.
Would we have to make some kind of declaration as to their status with the United States in order to do that?
Well, what we can do is, there's a couple things, actually. Right now, the administration, and I'm glad to hear the president's been talking about this, Secretary Pompeo has been talking about this, and I think more to come from them. But what they could do right now is they could put TikTok on a basically, it's a watch list for security risks, and that would deny TikTok access to, like, the App Store, for instance, which would be tougher, yeah, be devastating for them. We've done something similar with Huawei, which is another basically Chinese spy ring masquerading as a business. So there are some tough steps that we can and I think should take in order to shut TikTok out. And ultimately what we need to do again is we need to demand that that the Chinese parent company sell off TikTok, sell it to Americans or to other owners who are not based in China or Russia or somewhere that's a security threat, and protect Americans' data. It just shouldn't be that if you download TikTok to your phone, all of a sudden Beijing has a direct line to all of your personal information. Mm-hmm. That's just wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. We're talking with Missouri Senator Josh Hawley, the Show Me State. And two more questions for you, but the one of which is, I feel as though because I'm a cynic, I'm a natural cynic, and I don't want to believe that we're almost too late at this point in stopping just how much power China has accrued. Because, you know, when we talk about TikTok being on people's phones, a lot of people might think, oh, well, I'm not worried about Beijing spying on me. Well, it's not just you. It's the behavior, the habits, etc., of the American people. And to use that as intelligence, I mean, there's so many things that can be done with that information. But it feels almost like you're fighting against the current at this point, because they are, for so long, I think that really our government has been kind of apathetic in terms of how they have spread and not being more proactive and making sure that they don't take root, for the lack of a better way to put it, in certain places, like, you know, for instance, in Hollywood production with Tencent and in gaming, etc. So what are your thoughts on that? Because it feels like an uphill battle.
You know, I think that we really are at an inflection point, and we're at a critical moment. If we don't take actions now to stand up to China, to stop their infiltration of our market in ways that manipulate and break our laws. I mean, this is the thing. They're not content to abide by our free enterprise system.
Right.
That's the whole purpose. They
right.
want to undermine it. They don't want to come over and just do business honest, open. No, they want to come over to spy on us, do what they've been caught doing in Houston, taking our information. By the way, I mean, think back to the Equifax breach of a couple of years ago,
yes.
3 years ago, where all of the folks' personal credit history, guess who was behind that? China. So this has got to stop, and we're at the point right now, if we stand up to them, we could do something about it. If not, it's just going to get harder and harder. Back to the NBA for a second. This is why it's important to insist that American corporations, including these big sports corporations, also take a stand for America. Because remember, China wants to impose their anti-free speech values on us by using outfits like the NBA. They tried to get the NBA censored. They tried to get the general manager of the Houston Rockets fired when he said something in support of Hong Kong a few months ago. That's outrageous. And we ought to say to China, you know, step off. I mean, you don't get to tell us what to do in the United States.
Yeah, they're using our consumer habits against us. They've weaponized our instant gratification desire. They've weaponized it against us. And not everybody's even aware that they've done this. I mean, in some respects, it's kind of clever. In others, it's absolutely terrifying. It's like, I feel like I'm in an episode of Black Mirror, really. One last question for you, because it's a Missouri issue and you are from my home state, Show Me State. I have to get you to weigh in on that McCluskey case happening in St. Louis City with the circuit attorney, Kim Gardner. Do you believe that this is an attack on self-defense, Second Amendment? How do you view this, and what are you watching with this case?
100% an attack on the Second Amendment. That's clearly what it is. This is an unbelievable abuse of power by a prosecutor. That's why I've asked for the United States Department of Justice to open right now a civil rights investigation of the entire circuit attorney's office. This is a prosecutor who has let dozens of violent criminals go free in St. Louis without so much as a slap on the wrist just in the last few weeks, just coming out of this rioting and looting. And then she turns around and she goes after a couple standing on their own property with lawful firearms defending their home. I mean, it is a political stunt. It is a show trial, and it is a violation of the Constitution of the United States, and she should be held to account for it.
There you go. Senator Josh Hawley, always a pleasure. Senator Hawley, we hope you have a great rest of your week. We look forward to talking with you again soon. We'll be watching as far as the TikTok bill and also the Slavery Business Certification Act. Thanks so much.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
It's the Dana Show.
So just a programming note. Because normally I always take like a week of vacation, but I haven't this year because it's been a little kind of crazy. I am going to be out until next Tuesday. That's when I'm going to be back behind the mic, and that's when you will have the video of the radio show back. I'm going to take a few days of vacation and try to vacation, sort of. It's going to be difficult because normally I like to go without Wi-Fi. So you'll find me on Twitter still, and I'll still be putting some stuff up on Facebook and that, but I will be back behind the mic with you again on Tuesday. Sergio fills in, and I just robbed Steve of his Today in Stupidity. I'm sorry, Steve. I'm sorry. Folks, DanaLash.com. God bless. Back with you next Tuesday.